Matthew 26, I'm going to start with verse 36 here. The Holy Spirit gave me a powerful message to share tonight that I believe will be a blessing. I'm saying that in faith. That's a joke. Okay. Okay. See y'all, I had a hard day today. Had a rough day, did you? It's okay to laugh in church. Amen. Matthew 26, 36 through 46. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." When he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless," oh, I'm so glad Jesus said nevertheless, amen. "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time he went away and prayed and saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." You know, I think about that, and this just hit me. And it really breaks my heart when I read that, because Jesus was just looking for someone to stand with him in that hard time. Think about that. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus was just looking for his disciples to be with. You ever been in a place in your life where you just need someone to be there with you? You need someone to hold your hand. You need someone to say everything's going to be all right here. Let's pray. Amen? Now, do you feel the heart of Jesus on that? 3 times they fell asleep on him. Go to Matthew 27, verse 45 through 56 real quick here. We'll read this. Now the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The Father had to turn his head from him because Jesus became sin on that cross. And the Father couldn't even look. Amen? Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, those who died before this. Can you imagine this sight? This is amazing. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection. Jesus' resurrection was so powerful. It brought life everywhere. Then went into the holy city and appeared to many. So then the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened. They feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's son. So when Jesus died, the veil was torn, and in the power there was an earthquake. I mean, things were just shaking and moving. Say shaking and moving. Yeah, I like that. Tonight, in this Good Friday service, we remember and we're so thankful for the sacrifice that Jesus gave of himself on the cross to pay our debt of sin. Amen? He was and is the spotless, the righteous Lamb of God that willingly chose to allow the sin of the world to be placed on him. So that through faith in Jesus, amen, through his life, death, burial, and resurrection from the dead, we can have that righteousness that he had, right? And because of that righteousness, think about this. We can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, I want you to really get this in your spirit and think about this. The Holy Spirit cannot live in a spirit of a man that has the sin nature in it. All right? The Holy Spirit cannot come in to an unbeliever. All right? That sin nature must be removed so the Holy Spirit can come in and dwell in us Christians. That makes sense to you? All right? That's why for the Holy Spirit to come and live on the inside of us, we must put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must verbally confess him as Lord. We must believe. Amen? And that sin nature, when we put our faith in him, that sin nature in our spirit man is taken away, and then the house of our spirit man is prepared for the Holy Spirit to come in. That sin nature has to be kicked out. So Jesus, here's what I want to tell you. Jesus did his part. And now we as Christians, we must personally do our part. How many in this place, you desire to have a close and intimate relationship with your Heavenly Father? Amen. If you can't say yes to that question, there's two options. Number one, you're not born again. And number two, you're backslidden. You're in a backslidden condition spiritually. And for the backslidden Christian, you've allowed sin, you've allowed the world to come in and to put out that spiritual fire that you once had. So many Christians, listen to this. So many Christians have cast off their kingly robes that Jesus gave them when they got born again, and they put on the rags that the world has to offer. See, the Holy Spirit said this as I was writing this message. He said, you are supposed to go from rags to spiritual riches, not spiritual riches back to rags. Amen? Every Christian should have a desire. Every Christian should have that drive to have that closer relationship, a closer walk with their Heavenly Father. So recently, as I was walking around this sanctuary, and I was praying, and that was my prayer. I said, Lord, I want every member of the body of Christ, of Living Waters Chapel, myself, Lord, I want that close and intimate relationship with you. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, give me the keys of how to accomplish that goal. Something I can impart to the people, practical stuff that will show us how we can have that intimacy with our Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you want that close and intimate walk with God, it's going to cost you something. Did you know that? It's going to cost you something. Do you want to know that what that price is? Everything. Amen. It's going to cost you everything. It will take, listen to this, it will take living a crucified life. Amen. A crucified life. And that's the title of this message, Living a Crucified Life. Go with me to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Hallelujah. Mark 8, verse 34. Mark 8, 34 through 38. It says, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man or a person if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So there's two things you need to do. Number one, you have to deny yourself. Say, I got to deny myself. And then it says you need to take up your cross. Now, to take up your cross is talking about laying aside, say laying aside, laying aside your fleshly will, your fleshly desires, and yielding to the will of God for your life. It means putting aside those things that are hindering your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Taking up your cross means that you are willing to crucify your fleshly desires, listen, that are daily trying to pull you away from God and His written word. Anything, listen to this, anything the flesh would promote, anything the flesh desires, your free will must choose to deny it and choose the righteous way. Amen? That's why I said this. That's why I said Jesus accomplished his part of the deal. Jesus said what he accomplished. He said, it's finished. Amen? Unfortunately, a lot of Christians think that their part's finished too. But guess what? It's not. Amen. That's just the starting point. Say, that's just the starting point. Jesus finished his part. We still got our part. Amen? Hallelujah. So we have to, that's why I said, so Jesus accomplished his part of the deal. His part is finished, but ours continues. Listen to this. Ours continues to play out second by second, day by day, minute by minute, month by month. You get the point, right? We must, what the Word of God says, we must work out our salvation with fear and trembling, with the fear of the Lord, amen, reverence for him. And we must consistently and daily choose to do that. So here we go. The Holy Spirit revealed to me that before taking up your cross to crucify your fleshly desires, the Holy Spirit said this to me. Are you ready? He said, you too must have a Gethsemane experience first. If you're going to live a crucified life, if you're going to take up your cross and follow him, before that happens, you got to have a Gethsemane experience. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had to come to the place of crying out. And this is where we all have to come to in our life. Not my will, but yours be done. Amen? There must be a brokenness in you. And when I say a brokenness, it's a positive brokenness. Amen? A brokenness of your will where you're willing to connect with the will of God. A surrendering, a forsaking of your own way and yielding to God's way. Yield means to slow down. Slow down, wait, watch, you know, like what you got to do by the Strand or else you're going to get hit by a car running a red light. Amen. There must be a yielding. Psalm 51:17 says this, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Listen to this, a broken and contrite heart. A heart that's sorry for the sin. A heart that's sorry for wandering away from God. Oh God, thou will not despise that person. There must be a godly sorrow for choosing your own way over God's way. There must be godly sorrow for the unconfessed sin in your life. There must be a godly sorrow for wrong attitudes in your life. Until there's godly sorrow, guess what? Nothing will ever change in our life. There must be a godly sorrow that leads to, the Bible says, repentance. Say repentance. Now remember, repentance is a 180 away from sin, not a 360. Remember? 360, you're going back in it. Oh, come on. But listen to me. So there needs to be that godly sorrow. That's why it takes someone, and sometimes that godly sorrow, listen to this, that's why it takes someone to come along with some kind of spoken words. Maybe a message. Maybe the message you're hearing tonight. A message that the Holy Spirit can use to reach inside and grab a hold of you. And finally, you start to come to the end of yourself. Finally. But it takes, and the Holy Spirit's working, but he uses the tool of the Word of God, does he not? That's the Holy Spirit's tool. That's why it's so important when you go out to evangelize. You're speaking the Word. You're speaking the Word of God. You're speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And that invisible hand of God, I love it, just reaches right in and shakes him and says, what are you doing with your life? What are you doing? Why are you destroying your life? I got so much better for you than where you're at right now. Amen? So we read in the Old Testament where people made idols and images and worshiped them, right? And we think, we would never do that. I would never do that. I would never make a calf and bow down to it, right? But all along, we have these idols in our heart, maybe money, maybe selfishness, and these worldly pleasures. We have all these things. And we're doing the same thing they were doing, just in a different form. Amen. They're in our heart. And they need to. So part of that brokenness, the Holy Spirit said this, part of that brokenness inside of you includes this, breaking the idols in your life. That's when you come to a place of brokenness, you're willing to break the idols and get rid of them. There must be a surrendering of those things that are cursing your life. I said, yes, cursing your life, because it will bring a curse into your life. Amen. We don't like that. So all the praying, think about this. Think of all the prayers that we have done that are against the will of God for our life. All that praying that we've been doing to try to get out of God's will for our life, that must stop. Amen? Jesus is our example. He said, Lord, if this can pass from me. But he used that one word that was so powerful. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. Guess what part of that prayer is the most powerful? Not my will, but yours. In that nevertheless. Is that a conjunction? I'm not an English major. I don't know. Never mind. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. Hallelujah. So the deception is this. Listen to this. This is the deception in this life. If I do what I want to do, I'll be happy. But the reality is this. If you do what you were created and called to do, that is where your true joy, that is where your true peace, that is where the true provision is for your life that's waiting for you in that place. Amen? Amen? So there are some listening to me, maybe in this place, maybe around the world online right now, that know, you know that what you're supposed to be doing, but you're fighting it. You're fighting it. And God's saying that's where your provision is for every area of your life. Now listen to this. Before you begin to take up your cross to follow Jesus, before you can step into that intimate relationship with your Heavenly Father, you must surrender to the will and purposes of God for your life. Now, when you take up your cross, listen to this. The Holy Spirit said, tell them this. When you take up your cross and you're walking toward Calvary, what's Calvary? The will of God for your life. When you're walking toward the will of God for your life. When you're walking toward the will of God for your life, listen to me, just like Jesus, you will be spit on by many people for following the will of God. You know that, right? Taking up and carrying your cross is not comfortable. It's not an easy thing to do, but it's the best thing that you will ever do in your life. Amen? You will reap many heavenly rewards. Now, if you're in the flesh right now, you're thinking, oh, heavenly rewards, big deal. Yeah, that's your flesh telling you that. See, that's what really matters. Think about this. This how we live our life on this earth right now determines what we're going to be doing in heaven in the next life. Amen? No, I'm not talking about reincarnation. Amen? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about at the end of time. Hallelujah. Oh, my. The flesh and the spirit man. Listen to this. The flesh and the... I haven't even got to my points yet, by the way. I'm just getting warmed up. Someone pulled my string. Here we go. Listen. The flesh and the spirit man are constantly warring against each other within the Christian. Sinners or the unsaved, they don't have that problem. They got one focus, and it's sin because of that sin nature in their spirit, man. They're not born again, right? But for the Christian, like I said a couple sermons ago, the Christian has that choice to live according to the flesh or according to the spirit, which is born again. And the one you feed the most will be the strongest and overpower the other one, all right? So the Christian, us, we're supposed to crucify that flesh, all right? Or in other words, don't be controlled, don't be influenced by fleshly or sinful desires. Now, think about this. Every time you choose not to sin, when you choose to obey God, this is the picture, the vision I got as I was writing this message. Every time you choose God's way and you say no to sin, it's like putting a nail in the fleshly, sinful desires of your life. Just like the nails were driven through Jesus' hands. Think about that. Jesus lived a sinless life on this earth, all right? No, he did not date Mary Magdalene. Hello. Contrary to what Tom Hanks says in that movie and all that stuff, right? It's a bunch of hogwash. It's trash. It's demonic, right? But Jesus lived a sinless, if he didn't live a sinless life, we're all going to hell. You do know that, right? If Jesus committed one sin, we're over. We're going to hell when we pass away from this earth. He was sinless, though. Amen? Yet he was the one on the cross, and he took the sin of the whole world on himself. Think about that. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this. He was made to be sin for us. He did not sin. He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, or having faith in him. That happens by faith. We believe that and receive it by faith. Amen? Now I can finally get to the points in my message. Set it up nicely. Here we go. Now I want to share with you some steps that you and I need to take to crucify that flesh and to really have intimacy with our Heavenly Father. All right, here we go. I had a vision of Jesus hanging on the cross, and the Holy Spirit gave me some points about Jesus' crucifixion to share with you about the crucifying of the flesh, those fleshly desires, all right? So here we go. Here's the vision I got in what the Holy Spirit gave me. Jesus had a crown of thorns on his head. Did he not? This is symbolic of your thought life. Say thought life. Go with me to Romans 8, Romans 8:13. Oh, the thought life is so important. You can't do anything without that thing going through the filter of your thought life somehow. Romans 8:13, the crown of thorns. And it says this, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led," or influenced, you could say there. Isn't that interesting? "As many as are led or influenced by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." So put to death, or to cut off the life source. We need to cut off. Say cut off. We need to cut off the life source, don't we then? We need to cut off the life source of the fleshly sinful desires. How? Don't feed them. The Word of God says don't make provision for the flesh. In other words, don't make it easy to sin, right? Right? I mean, if you have a drinking problem, don't walk by a bar. Don't go in a bar. Are you following me? You get it, right? Okay? We must be led by the Holy Spirit. We must give him influence on the inside of us. So we cut off the life source of the flesh. You want to know where we cut it off? In our thought life. That's where you cut the life source off of sin and the flesh. It's all in the thought life. Think about this. Sin is first conceived or given life in your thought life, all right? In your soul or in your mind. So then if it's given life in your thought life, so the opposite would be true as well. Sin can be put to death in our thought life. That's why I said you don't do anything, you don't say anything without it first going through your thought life. Amen? So the common denominator is what? Your thought life. You're either given life to sin in the flesh, or you're cutting it off and given access to your born-again spirit to have more influence over your life. So we need to renew our mind with the Word of God. Amen? And so how do you do that? How do you cut it off? So you have a thought that comes in. Here's what you need to do. Ready? Shift. Say shift. Shift your focus away from the sinful desires or thoughts. You shift it away from it. And that's an action of your will. The Holy Spirit won't do it for you. It's up to you. It's up to me. Amen? The Holy Spirit will help you to overcome those desires and temptation of the flesh or sin. But you, here's the key. You must cooperate with Him in that process. Say, I got to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. Don't fight against the Holy Spirit. Amen? When the Holy, here's what you got to, remember this. If you leave here tonight, remember this. Ready? Go with the Holy flow, not against it. Go with the Holy flow, not against it. All right? So God wants us to include Him in every area of our life, and that includes, most importantly, your thought life. All right? So if we would constantly keep Him in our thoughts, somehow, some way, keep His word in our thoughts to help consume our mind, the devil, demons, they wouldn't have any open doors to invade you then, because you're keeping it filled. Oh, my. An empty mind is a demon's playground. Think about that. So you got to fill your thought life with the right thing. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, I love the thought life. I love the topic of the thought life, because everything comes down to what you're thinking about. Everything. Every problem you've ever had. It comes down to what you thought about and you gave place to in your thought life, and it created an action that wasn't good. Amen? So if you want an intimate and meaningful relationship with your Heavenly Father, it will first begin in your thought life by meditating on the Word of God. Even, listen to this, even before you say a prayer to your Heavenly Father, listen to this, that what you meditate on is even more important than what you're praying. Because you can ask for something or pray wrong, right? We've seen that in the book of James. You can ask amiss, right? So that's why it's important to get your thought life straight first, renew your mind, and then guess what's going to happen to your prayers? You're going to hit that target, baby. Amen? Now, so God should somehow be included in our thoughts. And that's what He means in Proverbs 3:6. Listen to this. It says, in all your ways, in some of your ways. Oh, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. In other words, think about Him. Bring Him into your thought life. Bring Him into that situation. Acknowledge Him. Amen. Meditate on Him. Talk to Him. Yeah, hallelujah. That includes your emotions. Don't allow your flesh to take control and negatively influence your emotions. That includes envy and strife, divisions, you know, all the fruit of the flesh. We you know, and such like, as Galatians says, right? It gives us a partial list. It gives us a list of a whole bunch of things, and then it says, and the such like. In other words, there's more, but I'm not going to spell it all out to you right now. You get the point, right? Here we go. The next point. Jesus' blood flowed from the crown of thorns, from His head, ready? Down to His eyes. Down to His eyes. So we must be very careful what we put in front of our eyes. What goes through your eye gate will greatly affect your relationship with God. Satan and evil spirits, they know the power of sight. They absolutely do. By the way, there is a demon of blindness. Did you? That just came to me. I didn't even have that in my notes. Are you following me? The devil knows the importance of your sight and what's coming through your eye gates. All right? They know the power of sight. The Bible talks about this. The lust of the eyes. Say lust of the eyes. So what you see, here's why it's so important. Because the eye gates, it's an opening to your heart. Not this, your spirit man. It's an eye into your heart, okay? And so the enemy knows that. And because of that, because it's access to your heart, guess what it affects? Your thoughts. You see how everything ties into this thought life thing, doesn't it? Yeah, everyone's like, oh, Pastor James is on this thought life again. You can't get away from it. You can't talk about living a victorious Christian life without what's going through your thoughts. Amen? Here, what movies are you watching? What material do you read? What are you looking at on the internet? See, these are all things. What's coming through your eye gate? And I guarantee you, it's affecting you somehow in what you think, say, and what? Do. Oh, three things. Think, say, and do. Your whole life is summed up in those three things. Think, what you think, what you say, and what you do. And depending on what you think, say, and do, you're either going in a righteous direction or you're going to get yourself into some trouble. Amen. Now, go with me to Proverbs 4. Oh, I'm getting animated up here tonight. Hallelujah. I might be jumping on a pew here in a moment, so watch out. Now, Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 23. Hallelujah. I want Living Waters Chapel to be known as the church that constantly talks about the thought life. Amen. You can't get away from it. All right, here we go. Proverbs 4, 20 through 23. My son, or my daughter, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your, here it is, eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, just like you keep a garden. Make sure you better be weeding it. You better be taking care of that garden, amen? If you don't take care of a garden, what's going to happen? It's going to get overtaken, and it's not going to be profitable. Keep your heart with all diligence. The same is true for your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues, plural, more than one, every area, issues of life. The condition of your life right now is what your heart, the garden of your heart looks like right now. Do you need it to be, you need a little Roundup in there? You need some weeding going? What do you need, right? Is the ground hard? You got to rototill it? Well, I mean, what's going on, right? Need a little fertilizer? No. So keep the Word of God in front of your eyes always, because it's a gateway into your heart, all right? Now, here's what the Holy Spirit told me. Because when we read that, keep it in front of your eyes, immediately, the only thing you're thinking about is your physical eyes, right? The Holy Spirit said, no, I'm talking about the two eyes. Your four eyes. You have four eyes, by the way. You know that, right? Listen, your physical eyes and your spiritual eyes. What's your spiritual eye? It's your focus. It's your thoughts. It's your imagination. So we keep the Word of God. Yeah, absolutely. It's good to keep it in front of your eye gates and read on a daily basis, right? Not weekly, daily, right? Read something. But to also have your spiritual eyes focused and meditating on the Lord. Amen? So doing this will help you get to know your Heavenly Father. It'll help you get to know Jesus and the Holy Spirit much better. It will help you build your confidence and faith in God. It sure will. It will help you to discern and root out the lies from the enemy. Have you ever been lied to by the enemy? If you got breath in your lungs, I can say yes, you have, right? So when those lies come, you can immediately pick it out. Why? Because I like to say it this way. The filter in your heart is very effective. You got the Word in there. So when you hear something that's not truth, you're like, nope, I'm throwing that out. Amen. Huh. Yeah, I said this before, I want to say it again. You know how they study to find counterfeit money? You know how they do that? They train in on the real thing. They train on the every little detail, every minute little detail on the real thing. They're not studying the fake ones. They study the real. So when someone brings a fake one, they can say, nope, that's fake. Because you studied the real. So when you get into the Word of God, you're studying the truth. So anything that comes, come on, anything that comes to you that's not truth, immediately the alarm's going to sound and like, nope, it's out of there. Amen? Here we go. Listen to this. Next point. Jesus' blood flowed from his head down to his mouth. Down to his mouth. Many Christians are pushing God away because of the words that they speak. They gossip they partake in, the negativity, the lies, murdering others by their tongue with backbiting. God doesn't like that. See, we must stop destroying people because you want to know why? Because ultimately it destroys us. It's a sowing and reaping, right? So we must build people up with what we call our grace-filled words. Amen? Say grace-filled words. Proverbs 15:4. Listen to this. It says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Say, breaks the spirit. So our spoken words can either bring life or it can bring death to an individual or to ourselves, right? I mean, because we're speaking over ourselves all the time too, are we not? See, it can create, here's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, your spoken words can create the flow of the anointing, or it can break or cut the flow of the anointing. Words are so powerful. Now, here, say perverse. Because a lot of people, when they hear the word perverse or perv or whatever, what's the first thing you think about? You think it's about something sexual, right? No, nope. Let me make this a little more general for you. Ready for this? I mean, it includes that kind of stuff. But listen to this. Something that is perverse simply means this, that it's outside of God's divine order. Something that's perverse is something outside of God's divine order. Anything outside of God's order or way of doing things is perverse. It's a perversion. The devil's a pervert. He takes the truth and he perverts it. He twists it. He's a liar and the father of lies. Amen? So, we got to be careful. Listen to this. We got to be careful what we're watching, what we're seeing, and all that good stuff. Now, here's the next point. Jesus' blood flowed from his head. Ready for this? You know where I'm going? To your ears. To his ears. Jesus' blood flowed from his head to his ears. We need to be careful what we're listening to. The words that enter your ears can either strengthen or poison you spiritually. Very easy. One of two things. It affects your thought life. What you hear affects your thought life. How do we know that? Because Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? But unbelief, doubt, fear, anxiety, they come the same way from hearing. And that, so your eye gates and your ear gates all lead to. No, it don't all lead to Rome. It leads to your heart. Right? So how do you think people who once believed in God's truth, in God's word, on such topics, maybe like the Holy Spirit baptism, tongues, divine healing, spiritual gifts, and all of these other things, right? How do you think they fell away? I'll tell you how they fell away. From hearing unscriptural teaching. Are you following me? They heard something, they latched onto it. Unfortunately, there was probably something in their past, tradition-wise. They heard a wrong teaching, and they latched onto it. Are you following me? They were persuaded not to believe it because of the deception of the poisonous spoken words. Words, don't ever forget this, words are containers. They contain either spiritual nutrition or spiritual poison. They contain life or they contain death. Amen? The Word of God says to be careful how you hear. Say how. Be careful how you hear. Make sure your attitude is right. Make sure it's mixed with faith in God's Word when you hear the Word of God. Look at Proverbs 15. Go there with me. Proverbs 15, 31 and 32. Hallelujah. Be careful how you hear. Oh, this is interesting here. Proverbs 15, 31 through 32. I wish I had this teaching when I was like their age. When I was like their age. Are you following me? I wish, when I was your age, I wish I heard, you know what I'm saying? In your age, I wish I heard these teachings and knew them. It would have changed my life. So kids, listen up. Listen up and take hold of this stuff. Amen? Listen to this. Proverbs 15, 31. There's my children's lesson today, okay? So Proverbs 15, 31 through 32. It says, the ear that hears the rebuke of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul. But he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. Now, there's something real interesting here. Because I read that, and the Holy Spirit said, this is what literally what he said to me when I was writing this. He said, not just hear, you must listen. Amen? You can hear something and not understand what you're hearing. But when you're listening, you're attentive. You're paying attention. We don't just want to hear, but we need to listen. We must meditate on it and process it in our heart so it will create positive change in our life. We need to focus and pay attention. Amen? Now, here we go. Next point. Jesus' hands were pierced. 1 Timothy 2:8 says this, I will, therefore, that men, people, pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Amen. I want you to notice that it says, doesn't just say hands, it says what? Holy hands. What is that talking about? Are you ready for this? Hands that are set apart for God's purposes. Hands that are set apart to do the will of God. Amen. See, there must be purity in our life as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God must motivate. Listen, the love of God must motivate the works of our hands. Ephesians 4:28 says this. It talks about helping others in need. And this is what we always got to be asking ourselves. Are you ready for this? Are our hands dedicated to build and promote God's kingdom or to destroy it? What are we doing? We're either building it or we're destroying. Look at Psalm 24 real quick here. Psalm 24. Do you guys have a good day today? How many of you had the day off? Okay. Oh, all right. Not as many as I thought. That's why y'all are tired. All right, that's okay. We're pressing on. Hey, listen, Psalm 24, 3 through 5. Listen to this. Psalm 24, 3 through 5. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has, here it is, clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. In other words, be a truth teller. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Isn't that beautiful? So we need to be careful what we put our hands to. God is very clear. He's very clear that he requires clean and holy hands to approach him. Amen? Next, my next point. I got two more points. Here we go. Jesus' feet were pierced. And here's what the Holy Spirit said. Be careful where you go. Be careful where you allow your feet to take you. Amen? Always keep in mind that wherever you go, you are taking the Holy Spirit with you. Amen. Oh, think about that. Everywhere you go, you're taking the Holy Spirit with you. Promote God's interest on this earth. Ephesians 6:15 says, let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I like that. In a nutshell, what are God's interests? I'm going to give you the top three interests of God our Creator. Are you ready for this? Don't ever forget this. These are the top three things that God's interested in. Number one, he's interested in getting the lost saved. Amen. He doesn't want anyone going to hell in the lake of fire. Amen? Number two, he's interested in getting a Christians baptized with the Holy Ghost. Because that's how we receive power to be a witness for Jesus. We need that power to fulfill the will of God, right? And number three, are you ready for this? The third interest of God for all of us as Christians to grow spiritually. Those are the top three. If those three things aren't happening, God's kingdom's not being advanced. Those three things need to happen. Amen? My last point. Lastly, Jesus was pierced in his side where water and blood flowed out of him. Say water and blood. We need to let the word of God saturate our spirit so that when you're pierced, when you're squeezed in a situation, you know what's going to come out? The word of God. You know how you're going to react? How the word of God tells you to react. Are you following me? Listen to this. Make sure that everything you allow into your ear gate, into your eye gate, those are the four gates. Two eyes, two ears. That's what's going into your heart. Listen to this. Make sure everything that you allow to enter those gates, those four gates, all right? Two gates. Yeah, I'm going to say four, all right? Make sure it passes the blood test. Oh, come on, somebody. Make sure it agrees with the blood of Jesus Christ and the written word of God. And if it doesn't belong in your life. Pure and simple. There's something real interesting in 1 John. It talks about three that bear record in heaven and three that bear record on earth. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, that verse. And I'm probably going to write a message on this, but I just found it real interesting. The three things that bear record in heaven are the Father, the Word, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. The three things that bear record on earth is the Holy Spirit, water, and the blood. And something jumped out at me on this. Now, I'm not here to preach this message right now, but I'm throwing it out at you just for something for you to meditate on. The one common denominator between the three things in heaven and the three things on earth, who is it? The Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? Think about it. We are connectors between heaven and earth. We're conduits. We're connectors for the power of God between heaven and earth. That's the one common denominator, the Holy Ghost. I don't know. Anyways, meditate on that. I'll be with you sometime down the road with a message probably as I get more revelation. See, I don't preach anything unless I get understanding and revelation. How am I going to preach something if I don't understand it? Right? Some people say, well, why aren't you preaching on this topic? Well, because I don't have full revelation and understanding to write a message on it yet. I'll get there. Hey, be praying. Lord, give Pastor James revelation on this topic. That goes a long way, right? It helps me write my sermons. I appreciate that. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. So all of these points I have given you in this message require commitment, consistency, and discipline. Commitment, consistency, and discipline in your life as a Christian. If you are desiring an intimate and meaningful relationship with your Heavenly Father, you will do whatever it takes to maintain that goal. Amen? The whole point of living a crucified life on this earth is found in John 3:30. Very simple. Are you ready? That we, our flesh, our will, would decrease. And the life of Jesus, the influence of Jesus, the influence of the Holy Spirit would increase through us. That's why we crucify the flesh. That's why we need to live a crucified life. Someone once asked Kenneth Hagin about, well, how often should I fast? And you know what Kenneth Hagin told him? Live a fasted life. Live a fasted life. Hold off on things you shouldn't be getting into. It's not just this, oh, I'm going to fast for 3 days. Oh, you're going to fast for 3 days and go back to what you came out of in that pig slop? Live a fasted life. Live a crucified life. Amen. So thank God for Jesus going to the cross for us. Jesus indeed finished his part of the deal over 2,000 years ago. Now it's time for us as his disciples to do our part. Amen? To live that crucified life on this earth dedicated to advance the kingdom of God. So today we celebrate Jesus' death on the cross. Amen? Amen. It's a celebration, like I said. He did it willingly for us. Amen? But that's not the end of the story because Sunday's coming. So grab your elements right now. Now you can see why I waited to do communion after, because all I'm talking about is the living a crucified life. I'm talking about crucifying that flesh. I'm talking about the blood of Jesus, the blood that ran down from that crown of thorns on his head, and it ran down and it touched every part. And that's what the Holy Spirit is telling us. Jesus, we thank you for your broken body. We remember. Now take a moment right now. I don't want to rush this. Take a moment to really think of it. Close your eyes. And really take a moment to think of areas of your life where you have been falling short. Maybe there's an area or areas that you have not been crucifying your flesh, right? You've been making provision for it. You've been making it easy to sin. That's when you run back to Jesus. Amen? So confess it to him right now. Right in your own heart, confess it to him. And say, I'm going to crucify this thing willingly. Holy Spirit, help me to overcome this bondage. Help me to overcome this sin in my life because I don't want it. Anything that's going to separate me and you, I don't want it. I want it to be removed. That just like when Jesus died, the veil was torn from the top to bottom. Let's rip that veil of sin from top to bottom and remove that thing so we can get back in the flow of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Jesus, we thank you for your broken body. Lord, I'm asking right now if there's anybody right now that's in this place, that's watching online, that needs a physical healing. We thank you that by your stripes, we are healed. We stand on it in faith. Not because it makes sense to us, but by faith. Say faith. We believe it. We receive it. You may partake of the bread. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, your blood is so precious, so precious. It's so easy to downplay or not give glory to what the blood has done because it can just kind of go over your head, right? But I really want you to think about the blood of Jesus. Think about when that blood was pouring out of him, when it was pouring all over his body, and it was he was a spotless lamb being sacrificed for us to take our sin away so we could receive that righteousness, so we could be delivered from the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Think about that. This is some heavy stuff right now, and it's because the blood of Jesus was poured out. In the enemy, when we stand on in faith on what the blood has accomplished for us, the enemy doesn't like that very much, but the enemy doesn't have a choice but to let you go. Jesus, we thank you for your blood. We remember it. We remember your sacrifice. You may partake of the drink. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand up in this place. Prayer team, come on down. Now, maybe there's someone in this place you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You need to do it. Don't leave this building without doing it. Don't do it. You know how many times I've heard people say, man, you know, I tried sharing Christ with a person, and they left, and they got into a car accident. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ, leaving and rejecting Jesus, leaving and getting killed in a car accident when you had the opportunity? If you got breath in your lungs right now, you have that opportunity, and you don't know when you're going to take your last breath. If you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, we're not trying to embarrass anyone, but come up to one of the prayer team members before you leave and just say, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. Maybe there's someone in here. You this message really gripped your heart. You're like, yeah, I really have not been crucifying my flesh. But this message really tugged on my heart. The Holy Spirit was really, really ministering to me during it. If you want prayer, come on down and just tell a prayer team member. Say, this message really, really impacted me, and I want to live a crucified life for Jesus on this earth. Maybe you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism, speaking in other tongues. you want to learn more about it, you want to be prayed for to receive, come on down and pray with one of the prayer team members. They'll take care of that for you as well. You need prayer for anything else, they will stay and pray with you about that as well. So thank you so much for coming. Thank you, visitors, for coming tonight. And come on back on Sunday as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Have a great night. Love you all. We'll see you Sunday.